Hello and welcome to another episode of the Healthy Hustlers podcast. I'm your host, Madeline Carafa. If you're new here, welcome. The Healthy Hustlers is a series of healthy conversations with influential hustlers, where together we chat health mindset and motherhood. Featuring easy to digest conversations with some of the most successful and influential people in our country, including the likes of Kayla Itzine's Megan Gale, Elise Knowles, Sarah's Day, Mick Fanning, and many more, this podcast is sure to give you a boost of healthy enthusiasm to fuel your health and well-being goals. With over 150 episodes for you to enjoy, through storytelling, my aim is to offer you a fresh perspective and inspiring insights that will empower you to live a happier, healthier, and more fulfilling life. Today's Mama Chat is proudly brought to you by Bubba Bump, a gorgeous family business providing a one-stop shop for not only baby essentials, but also mother's postpartum care needs. Bubba Bump are known and loved for supporting and nurturing both mothers and babies with their gorgeous organic baby wrap carriers, organic baby lounges and essentials, while still having a beautiful focus on the postpartum care for mothers. Hello and welcome back to another Mama Chat. Today I'm joined by the hilarious, real and relatable Amelia Lamont, known to most as the Midwife Mama. Mum to three beautiful young babes, as her Instagram name reveals, Amelia is a midwife who actively works in the birthing centre while also building an online empire where she supports women through pregnancy, birth and beyond through birth classes, sleep consulting and handy tips and tricks across her highly engaged Instagram, The Midwife Mama. Today, we chat about her personal approach to sleep when it comes to her children, how she juggles the demands of motherhood with a booming business, and plenty more. This chat is high vibe and full of wise mama wisdom. Amelia is one of those women who truly honors the seasons of motherhood. She keeps her content real and relatable with a no BS approach. It is no wonder she is highly respected and adored by her online community. Here's Amelia. Hello, Amelia, and welcome to the Healthy Hustlers podcast. I'm very excited to be chatting to you today. How are you?
I'm excited to be here. I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm very, very well. Seriously, love following you online. You are just, you're amazing. There's not many people online like you. Like, you've just that such a good balance of like real, raw, and really relatable. So I love all your content. So thank you for being here today.
That's very kind of you. I try and be very authentic because, as we know, in the Instagram world, not much is real. And especially being mothers like yourself, it's very easy to compare and it's not real. So I think it's really important to remain true to who you are. And I think that's why I've been blessed with such a beautiful following, because I am super honest and real and raw.
Absolutely. And we just need more of it. And exactly what you said, especially when you're a mum, like I remember getting so trapped in that cycle of like, thinking that like this motherhood thing was going to be so easy, because I used to see everyone's glamorous photos and them out and about after two weeks of having a baby, and then I had one and I'm like, hang on, what's wrong with me? Why can't I do all of this?
Hello, look at me now. Oh my God, motherhood's got me good. No, I totally get it. And I couldn't agree more. It's insane. It's insane.
No, it is. It is. So it's so important that there's people like you with an influence just showing the real side of it. But I guess I start these chats in a really similar way, and it's finding out what season of motherhood you are currently in.
I'm in the tired season. No, look, I am in the season of Coco's getting that little bit older now, and everyone's starting to ask me, oh, you're going to have another baby. You might want to have one soon. So I'm in that whole, right, the tired season of you're cutting your molars, you're booby obsessed at the moment, you're in the most horrible leap, and we're about to renovate our house, and I'm thinking about another baby. I'm like, see, that's what season I'm in, chaos.
Wow.
I'm in chaos, and that's the story of my life.
I love that. When you said tired, I was like, oh, I don't think that season ever ends, does it? When you become the day you become a mum, it's just like tiredness.
Well, I was saying to my sister who got four, I'm like, you know, like, doesn't it get so much easier when they got older? And she's like, no, your worries get bigger. Like, it's never get easier. It's always tiring.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I had a lady actually say something really similar the other day. She's like, small kids, small problems, big kids, big problems. I was like,
that's actually
awesome.
A real analogy. That's very accurate.
It's so true, isn't it? But it just shows you that like none of it's easy. It's just that the stages are different. Like they're just a different form of hard almost.
Yeah, true. Different form of heart. Yeah. I've got three kids all at different stages and I'm like, whoa, all right. Do we come off the air now? Like, hurry up, school holidays.
Totally. So tell me about you and your beautiful family. Who's in your family?
Oh, so I am a midwife, a certified sleep consultant and almost qualified lactation consultant. I always dive headfirst into study or work. I don't know what I do. I overload myself all the time, as well as being a mother, a partner, and still working in the hospital as a midwife. And on top of that, I run, obviously, the Midwife Mama business, something that started out as really fun, just to keep me company in the lonely world of motherhood when I first had Alfie, has now turned into a really big business. So through the Midwife Mama, I sell birthing classes, a pregnancy guide, and I give, you know, general advice all around. Yeah. And then when I'm not doing that, I'm partnering Ambrose, I'm mothering Alfie, Essie and Coco, and then I'm trying to divide my time between birth suite and family life. So that's me. It's chaotic.
So no wonder why you're tired, because you probably never sleep with all of that on your plate.
It's so funny you say that. I woke at 3 a.m. this morning to what I thought was Coco crying, and I'm like, it wasn't. She was sound asleep. And I was like, oh, I've just got to quickly. So I got on my phone and I've always got my notes open, writing things down, because my brain does not stop.
That's actually crazy. Like, sometimes I feel busy with like one child and a business, and then I hear that, I'm like, oh my goodness, like that is incredible what you do.
I don't know. I think I just cope better when I'm busy. I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't ever stop. I need to stop.
You love being busy. That's great, though. That's so good.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
And the work that you're doing is so inspiring and empowering. So, you know, obviously I'm sure that fills your cup a lot as well, like being able to really have a passion that you love and see people.
You know, I get the most beautiful messages, like I truly do. And obviously during COVID has been the hardest 2 years of everyone's life, particularly those that are trying to conceive, those that are pregnant or have just had babies. And what that means is obviously limited time in hospital. There's no visitors. There's barely any support or help. So I'm finding now more than ever, my inbox is being absolutely smashed with DMs. And as I was saying to you before, you know, I've got help to go through my DMs because I don't want anybody to feel like they're not being supported. Yeah, so it does. I think the job as a midwife never stops. When you're in the hospital, you feel like you're never giving enough. And then when I come home and I've got this online business, it's just as insane. But it's my pleasure to help people. I love when I get the messages like, you have no idea how much you've truly helped me. I have no family support. And, you know, the ones that say to me, if it wasn't for you giving me that bit of advice, I would have thrown in the towel with breastfeeding straight away. Or, you know, if you didn't help me with this, I wouldn't have gone for my VBAC and I had a successful VBAC. So positive stories like that, they're so beautiful and they make, you know, all of this worth it. It's really hard to explain to someone the world of an online business, which you would totally understand. But when I say things like this, like, you know, I just help this lady do this, they're like, oh, I get it. So that's what you do. I'm like, that's what I do. That's me.
Yeah. Oh, that is, no, it's so true. And they're the things that just like keep you going. Like when you're in the trenches and you're so exhausted and like everything seems so much, like being able to have those positive reminders of the impact that you're having, I'm sure. Yeah, definitely keep fueling your soul. But yeah, no, it's incredible. I can't believe you're considering number four. You're seriously superwoman in my eyes.
You know why? I'm just like so pregnancy obsessed and birth obsessed and obviously baby obsessed. And I just think like, I just can't imagine not doing it again. And it worries me because I think, what's going to happen the day I don't do it again? Like, you know how people say, no, you just know when you're done. I don't know if I will know when I'm done. Like, I had a beautiful birth at work a couple of weeks ago and I was like, oh, I just want to do this like again.
Really?
Oh, I know. I'm crazy. I told you.
And so you enjoy, like, let's talk about pregnancy then. You enjoy that whole process of, you know, growing, birthing?
So obviously nausea and the tiredness aside, yes, I love being pregnant. When I was pregnant with Alfie, it was legitimately the best I'd ever felt in my life. My energy was through the roof. I exercised every day, not intensely. I slept beautifully and I just, oh, I loved every second of that pregnancy. And then I carried Essie and I don't know, I've had a very different pregnancy carrying a female. It was still absolutely beautiful. And then came Coco and I was like, okay, this is hard. My body's getting a little bit older and a little bit sore now. But I just, look, I don't know, nothing beats feeling a baby move inside your belly and you've got constant company. But I also personally feel the best I ever feel when I'm pregnant, like dressing my bump. I feel like, I don't know, I feel better. I don't know. It's weird. But yeah.
Yeah, no, I love that insight. I think it's like, and because everyone's is so unique, you know, like everyone's experience. And when you're talking about Alfie, I was like, that's exactly the experience I had with Georgia. Like I was just obsessed with like the feelings. Yeah, getting dressed. Like I just felt so good and so beautiful. And then this second pregnancy, I'm like, oh, I just feel the polar opposite. I'm like, it's just funny. It's so funny how and I feel this baby all the time. And I'm like, oh, get out of here.
Yeah, I know. I think it's the exhaustion that makes us feel so rotten as well. And then once we get that second, you know, bout of energy, if it ever does come in your pregnancy, you go, okay, I can do this. I enjoy this now. Once my nausea is done with, I feel like this massive burst of energy and I feel great.
And it's such a short, like when you reflect back, like I keep trying to tell myself, like it's such a short period for like such an enormous reward, you know, like to be able to create a life, you know.
I know, right? And this is what I think, like what comes next, right? So think about it. After we have our babies, what comes next? Your kids grow up and then you as an adult, you grow up and then what? You're in your late 40s before you know it and then you're facing retirement. I'm like, oh my God, it's like, let's do all this stuff while we still can. So I think that's probably why I'm so wanting Absolutely. To stay young and keep having babies and whatever.
Oh, I love that. I love that so much. You mentioned you are a sleep consultant, but I'd love to dive into like your personal journey with sleep. How's it been with the three kids? Like what's been your approach? Has it been different?
So how my sleep consulting came about was I had Alfie and as a midwife, I was like, yep, breastfeed, broken sleep is normal, but he was next level broken sleep. I was saying to somebody the other day, I literally fed 2 hourly overnight from the day he was born. So until 6 months of age, until I went to sleep school, and I was like, this is life changing. Number one, it wasn't brutal like people think. It wasn't cruel. It taught me so much. It taught me how to be a more gentle parent. It actually taught me to understand sleepy cues and, you know, what his cries mean. And no, Amelia, that doesn't mean he's hungry. That means this. It's just what I learned from there is invaluable. And yeah, from there, I had a passion to just help every other mother because I know I felt so awful when I was sleep deprived. And I thought there are so many mums that don't have the money or the, you know, the time to go to sleep school, number one, or the support. So if we can help somebody, even one person, like, yeah, I've done my job and I did. So I went on to become a sleep consultant, inspired by Alfie. And yeah, and then I had Essie and from day one, she was my absolute dreamboat sleeper until we turned, I think, 15 months. She started to go a little bit rotten. And I don't know if you followed me for a long time, you would know Essie is like a little bit of separation anxiety, is mum and dad obsessed. So we often find her little feet creeping to our bed in the middle of the night. But we've come leaps and bounds with her. And what I have learned in motherhood is, you know, some days are good, some days are bad. But like you said, it's not forever. It's temporary. And, you know, it won't be like this forever. So I've just got to be like, you know what? I'm just going to enjoy this. I know how to teach somebody how to sleep. She knows how to sleep. And if she needs me for the moment, so be it. Whatever. So since I've taken that approach, I'm like, oh, I can breathe a little bit. This isn't as stressful as I thought. And it's beautiful for her too. And we all have a lovely connection. And then there's Coco, my third baby, the crazy baby. She's a lot like her brother. She does not stop, like does not stop. Like if I open the front door, she's gone and I won't be able to find her. Like she's absolutely crazy. And she too was my dream sleeper. And just lately she's been a little bit turdy, but she's had illness after illness from starting childcare. And she's kind of gone back on track now. So I can't complain. They're all pretty good. And Alfie is amazing now still.
Oh, that is so good. Yeah. It's funny how different children can be in that, you know, considering that you're still the same mum.
And it's personality, babe. Can I tell you, it really comes down to your child's personality. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's what I got taught as well. Mm-hmm. You know, I have Essie, who's a very, very defiant child, and I can tell her that the sky is blue and she'll tell me, no, it's not. And you know, she's blue in the face. And then I have Alfie, who is so sensitive and needs that beautiful sleep independently. He likes to sleep like that. And then he's a happy boy. Mm. And then Coco, who's a little bit of both, but yeah. It's just, you're right, every child's so different.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, like, you know, sometimes that's what we have to remember as well and remind ourselves of. Like, I feel like sometimes in Western society, like, we put so much expectation on these, like, tiny little humans. And I know a lot of it does come from, I guess, this social media world and maybe people not sharing the real and raw as, you know, the behind the scenes as often. And so we have this kind of real obsession with, you know, babies sleeping through the night and, you know, they should be doing this at this age. And I'm like, hang on, they're these tiny humans. Like,
I know. Look at me. Classic example. I'm a midwife, a sleep consultant. I know everything about sleep and, you know, how to get a baby to sleep. And then I have my own daughter, Essie, who, like, no matter what I did and tried, just didn't work with her. And over time, she's learned to sleep. And you know what I say to mums? Let's not focus on sleep training. There's no need to do that for a couple of months. If you really do want to do that, just focus on basic foundations and just enjoy your baby more than anything. Enjoy them. It goes so quick.
So true. It really does. I like still remember so many nights with Georgia. Like, she was actually like a unicorn at the start, seriously. Like, slept through it 5 weeks until Dreamboat. Like, yeah, till 6 months, and then it turned to a shit show.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. And so I was like, back work, like life, like, yeah, I've got this. And then it's just like, oh, shit, okay. And totally. But I remember, like, you know, I remember so clearly those nights, like sometimes just almost in tears, like trying to rock her and feed her and get her to sleep and just being like, I want this to be over. And now I'm like, oh my God, they're all over. And like, she loves sleeping independently.
I know.
Pushes my hand away sometimes if I'm rubbing her face. I'm like, oh, what I'd give to just like rock you to bed again.
Yeah, it's exactly right.
But, you know, we wish it away so much when we're going through it. So I guess what have been the main changes for you personally since becoming a mum? Like, were there kind of some really big, I guess, transformations or moments where you really realised that?
Yeah, like sleep, the lack of sleep. It is the be all and end all of everything with me in particular. Like, I need sleep. Like, I even now, Ambrose is like, babe, get up. I'm like, just 5 minutes longer, babe. You know, I was up to Coco once last night. He's like, so what? So things like that. I think you really do lose a little bit of your independence when you become a mother. Obviously, you're not only caring for yourself, but others now. So I feel like that's a little bit hard, you know, just being able to drop and run. And like, you would understand, and so would every mum listening to this, you know, just the ability to quickly run to the shops and grab some fruit. And you're like, oh, I've got to take this baby with me and get her in the car seat and then get the pram out. Just little things like that. I mean, some days it's beautiful and other days you're like, hon, just you have the kids for half an hour. I'm just going to go run some errands. So yeah, those things are hard. Obviously how much your relationship changes as well. It significantly changes, you know, gone are the days of sleeping in and having late boozy nights together, date nights, and just randomly packing up and going on holidays. But, you know, you wouldn't change it, would you? Because now, you know, you go on holiday, you get a night away with your partner and you're like, hey, so what are the kids doing? Oh, let's look at photos of the kids. And you're like, what is wrong with me?
It's so true.
Yeah. So, look, obviously things do change, but, you know, it is what it is. And I'm a believer in that. And, yeah, everyone's in it together.
We'll be right back after this healthy break. If there was one thing I learned the hard way after becoming a mum for the first time was how important it is to nurture yourself during the early stages of the postpartum journey. First time around, I put such a huge emphasis on my pregnancy journey, but then completely neglected my body and health once bub arrived. I promised myself I would never let that happen second time around. So this pregnancy, I've had a huge focus on preparing myself for the postpartum journey. A time to nurture both mum and baby. I was thrilled to stumble across Bubba Bump on Instagram, a gorgeous family business providing a one-stop shop for not only baby essentials, but also mother's postpartum care needs. Bubba Bump are known and loved for supporting and nurturing both mother and baby with their gorgeous organic baby wrap carriers, organic baby lounges, and baby essentials, while still having a beautiful focus on the postpartum care for mothers. Bubba Bump's labour prep and postpartum recovery kits aim to help ease the unexpected pain and discomfort that follows on from having a baby. They're available in vaginal and C-section options with the aim of catering to and nurturing all mothers. I personally love the idea of the kits as it takes the stress and pressure away from knowing what you'll need post-birth. You can check out Bubba Bump's full range of baby essentials and mother's postpartum care by visiting bubbabumpbaby.com.au or simply clicking the link in the show notes of this episode. Has there been any books or things that have really influenced your, I guess, your philosophy to motherhood and your approach, or had a really positive impact on the journey?
Do you know what? I've got to be honest. You are going to die when I tell you this. I have never finished a book in my life.
Really? Ever?
So, you know how you know how, like, so my family are all like a book nerds. Yeah. Like my mum and dad, like, would read like a book a day if they could. They'd, you know, I'll go home to mum's and just quietly in the corner reading. And my sisters do the same, and my brother. Ambrose is a bit of a reader. And then there's me, and I'm like, what's on social media? What am I going to do here? Blah, 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 blah. So no, I haven't got any of my wisdom or my motherhood power from any books, but I have got it from my mother, who has had five kids herself. Wow. And she is my resource and go-to for absolutely everything.
Love that.
So that sounds really bad, doesn't it? Because I can't refer it. But hey, you can borrow my mum for some information if you want.
And do you want to just text her? Can you put your mum's number out so we can text her?
No, but honestly, like, she would be like, Amelia, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? Back in our day, and you'd be like, oh, back in your day, what, did your babies just slept all night, did they? Because you guys just got along with it and blah, 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 blah. But no, so no, I've never read a book. There are some podcasts, you know, that I listen to, like the Janet Lansbury I kind of got into once, having issues with SCN, and I was like, right, I need to learn to be a patient mother. I'm not being very patient right now. So that was, yeah, that was pretty beneficial. But no, my mum, I just call her for everything.
And I totally get it with the books, because I can hands down say, until I reckon about 3 years ago, I'd probably never read a full book as well. And now it's just like such a part of my nighttime routine. But I can't believe that I could now consider myself a reader, because I'd never read a book. I didn't even read my year 12 books. I was like, oh, what happened in this, guys?
I know. YouTube, what happened in this storyline? No, like, look, I would love that. I wish I could lie down and just hop into bed with a, you know, tuck myself into bed with a good book like everyone says. But I'm like, I start thinking about what's for dinner when I read a certain line. Like, I'm terrible. I need to learn to meditate. And Ambrose reminds me of this all the time. But yeah. I'm good at writing. I'm not good at reading. So go
figure. So good. What do you think? I know we've spoken kind of like about the different stages of motherhood, but like personally for you, what's been, with the three kids, what's been the hardest stage so far that you've had to navigate?
So the hardest stage of motherhood to date isn't the three kids. It was going from the one to two, sorry, to scare you. The one to two kids was really challenging for me, I think, because I had the two under two. Now that we've got three, I actually find three easier than the two, which sounds so ridiculous, doesn't it? But I've got a good age gap. I've got a nearly 4-year age gap. So I've got two older kids to entertain Coco, and she just fits in. She just, just goes with the flow, and they have two third babies. You know, we're in and out of the car all day. Actually, that's a hard thing, is like the dynamics of transport and things like that. Like, I'm at the stage where I'm like, all right, three kids squashed in the back. We need to upgrade our car. Thank God we're renovating, because the bedrooms are looking a little bit small, that kind of stuff.
Obviously. Yeah.
That comes with growth, you need to, yeah, move things around.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, so did that feel like the size of your family felt a lot bigger when you went to three, but it felt easier at times as well?
Yeah, it felt bigger. That's so true. It felt so much bigger, and we're like, whoa, okay, but it actually felt easier. It just felt right. And Ambrose and I always joke, we're like, why were we so fearful of having a third? Like, she has been our absolute blessing. Yeah, wow. She's like the calm in our household, which sounds really ironic, but really silly. But yeah, no, she is.
And so what was the dynamic like when you went from one to two? Like, did they get along? Was there jealousy? Was there kind of like,
so one to two was hard because I essentially had two babies. Like, Alfie just turned 20 months. And it was more the guilt as a mother. You feel like, oh my gosh, that's not my baby anymore, and I can't give him 100% of my time. So there was that issue, like just the guilt you feel as a mother. And then there's also trying to organise, you know, obviously like the dinner, bath, bed routine. And, you know, we had a family, well, got a business. So Ambrose was working like 6 days a week on top of that. So I was literally doing this on my own, and I was like, I can't do this. This is so hard. I have a boy, Alfie, who has energy 24/7, does not stop. And then I got a baby. Essie, thankfully, just was so good. She'd sit in the pram for endless if I had to let her. Like, she never carried on or anything. But yeah, just the, you know, just go to the park. All right, let's go to the park. Put one in the double pram, one in the back of the double pram, and then snacks, and then this. It's just, it's stressful. I found it really stressful in the early days.
Yeah, definitely. I can imagine. I'm like fully, like, mentally, I think the first one I was going in thinking, I'm so ready for this. I can't wait. And it's like, obviously such a life altering like thing to go through that no one could pre-warn you for. But so this time I'm going in with the approach of like, this is going to be really, really, really hard.
Don't even just be like, you know what will be, will be. If I can, you know, my best advice that they always say to me, like my inbox is like, Amelia, I'm freaking out. I've just found out I'm pregnant with number two. My baby's only 13 months. What am I going to do? I'm like, the best advice I can give to you is cook dinner in the morning, because that's the most stressful time of day. Well, was for me anyway, getting the dinner organized.
Yeah.
You know, the afternoon, the kids are feral. It's witching hour. You're tired. They're tired. So yeah, cook dinner in the mornings and get out first thing in the morning for a walk. So you feel like you have done something, achieved something for that day, because before you know it, it's 11 a.m. and you've still got a toddler in their jammies. You've got a baby, you know, that's crying for bed and you're like, I need to get out of here. I'm going mad.
Yes.
So yeah.
Just up and go.
Two things I say is up and go. I used to put Alfie in the pram in his jammies, like obviously change his nappy. He'd eat his toast in the pram. We walked to the park. He'd burn off his energy for the first hour. You know, Essie got some vitamin D. It was great. And then we go home. I was like, all right, I'm a good mum. I've done something today. So
I love that. I feel like that's such beautiful advice. I love that. I feel, yeah. And do you know, it's funny because since we moved, I feel like I've stopped doing that. Like when we lived in Melbourne, because we're close to the water, I would just get up and go with Georgia and like, and we're in lockdown, I guess. So it was like the only thing we had to do. But then I've really stopped that since being here. And so I think that's such nice advice, because I'm like, it really, the headspace you're in is completely different when you've got up and done something.
And you're tired. And you know what I just had to remind myself is, okay, my kids are totally feeding off my anxiety. Let's just get out. Who gives a shit? I'm not going to wear any makeup. I don't even have a bra on. Just get in the pram. Like just get the kids in the pram and go. So that's what I would do. I'll walk to the shops, get a coffee. Kids would run feral for an hour. And then I'd be like, okay, I feel good. I've got energy. I've seen some daylight. I can do this.
I love that.
And then before you knew it, it was like 6 o'clock and it was bedtime.
What's kind of one of the main topics or topics of conversation that you do get asked about online from mums?
So obviously being a midwife, a lot of it is birth related and labor related. You know, what about this? What about that? A lot of it is breastfeeding. Like I was saying to you before, there's lack of help resources. There's not many qualified lactation consultants around. And if there is, they're all booked out. And I think as well, given that it's COVID, there is a bump in mothers wanting to breastfeed to protect their babies. And this isn't saying you have to breastfeed. I don't want people to think this is like push the agenda of feeding. It's not. It's just what I've personally seen. Yeah. So always, there's always breastfeeding help. There's always people asking for sleep help, sleep tips, and food. People are always asking about nutrition. Like, why does Coco eat that? Oh my God, I can't get my kid to eat anything. They're going to choke, you know, just things like that. It's more.
Yeah.
Just want reassurance.
Yes, definitely. What do you think is one of the number one things that you see going wrong? Or I shouldn't say going wrong, but I mean one of the biggest mistakes when it comes to newborn sleep?
Well, people have this idea that your baby sleeps through from very early on, and it's just not true. People need to be mindful that sleeping through is technically considered a block of 5 to 6 hours or longer, and that comes with time, age and maturity and nutrition, and that's not something we should rush. And I do understand being a mother how tired you are. All you want is sleep again. But yeah, I just think that's it's just I feel for these mums that feel so much pressure to do that. And I was speaking to one of the doctors at work and we were saying, you know, he was saying one of his patients, you know, they come in at 6 weeks and they're like, I just need sleep. I've got to go back to work soon. And I think that's what it is. Mothers these days are going back to work so much earlier than we used, you know, our mums used to.
Totally.
You know, I know personally my mum was always a stay-at-home mum, so she had the time to be at home to feed, to catch up on sleep. Mums these days can't afford to and they don't have the choice.
So I think true.
There's pressure to get a routine. There's pressure to get things right. You see on social media, this person's baby sleeping through the night, what's she doing that I'm not doing? It's just comparison. You know what? Comparison. That's what it is. People compare constantly.
And I think as a new mum, that's one of the hardest things is to block out that noise and to just listen to your own intuition and to be guided by that or to find a resource that you trust. We're flooded with like, you know, different people telling us different things. And instead I'm like, if you just found a resource that you trusted and loved and kind of went with them, plus your own intuition, like surely it can be so much easier. But I totally agree with what you're saying about like, it's almost like this modern motherhood or modern parenthood is like, we almost just like whack mum on our job title. Like, oh yeah, I'll just add it to the list of, you know, millions of things I already do. Whether once upon a time, like our grandparents and our mums, like that was their sole job. Like that's what they were doing. And now it's like, oh, we give ourselves 3 months and we're just like back into like full pace life. It's wild.
And, you know, I think we also need to normalize that some days you don't want to get out of bed, and you, when you do get out of bed, you do want to spend the day in your jammies, and that doesn't make you a failure of a mum. You know, I remember my mum dropping us off to school and then she'd come back home and put a dressing gown over the top and just kind of like sloth it at home for a little bit if she had to, you know, and she's like, I'm just catching up, having a bit of rest. And I'm like, all right, I don't care. You know, I just don't feel, I feel like there's just this agenda now to just get up, get on with it, suck it up, and, you know, what will be, will be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just shouldn't be like that.
No, it's definitely a trap for me. Like, I just remember that comparison and thinking, like, everyone was doing it better and why aren't I feeling that way and, you know, out of the house by this time. And, yeah, it is. It's such a nasty trap to be almost in. What do you know now that you wish you knew when you first became a mum to Alfie?
Oh, you know what? That it's not going to be that hard forever. Yeah, like when I was really exhausted and sleep deprived, I remember thinking, this is awful. I'm never going to get out of this. And obviously we went to sleep school and it changed our life for the better. But I think, like, I wish I didn't stress so much about that at the time. I mean, I know I was tired and that heightened everything. But yeah, it's not going to last forever. The moment that you're stuck in doesn't last forever. Like, I looked at Coco last week when she was really sick. I'm like, why are you waking up again? And I'm like, okay, you're sick. And I'm like, Amelia, relax. Do you know any 10-year-old that still wakes up 3 times a night? No. So It's not going to last forever. And you need to remind yourself of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you have a motherhood mantra? What kind of guides your positive thinking that you go back to?
Always, just when people message me on Instagram for help, I always just say to them, you know, we're in it together. I feel like everyone is in it together and we forget that. And they say to me, that is just so nice that you said that. I feel like I'm supported. I'm like, well, I'm a big believer in it does take a village to raise a child. And obviously in this day and age, it's really hard to have a village with COVID. You know, there's so many things stopping us. But, yeah, I just always say we are in it together, Mama, because we are. You know, like I, as my posts that I put up are very real, I'm like, some days I'm kicking ass and then other days I am just feel like a sack of potatoes like you do right now. Not you, you know, the women that message me. Yeah, in it together. It's not going to be like forever.
Oh, that is so good. Thank you so much for joining me. I've absolutely loved chatting to you.
I haven't bombarded you with like all these like, oh my God, you know?
No, it's been awesome. And I just love your approach. Like, you know, I've said it several times about how real you are, but I also just love your approach and your mindset towards motherhood as well. And I think it's, yeah, like, especially as a new mum, it's so important to have people like you being role models and just, you know, showing us that the stages, it's okay, you know.
Do you know what? I just wish that as a midwife, you know, I could spend, you know, not that I'm the best midwife and it's not coming from that angle at all, but I mean, like, I wish I could just spend time at home with every new mum and be like, hey, it's okay. Your boobs are sore, but it's going to get better. Hey, don't freak out that your baby's not taking that bottle. We can try a different bottle. You know, the colic, that's normal. Your sore boobs is normal. You know, just to comfort them, I wish, because not everybody has wonderful support. Not everybody has a big friendship group or a strong community. And I wish I could just give that to everybody, because I think it's the epitome of motherhood. I think if you are well supported, you're going to have a much better time than those that aren't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Breaks my heart that some women aren't in that position. So I just wish I could give them more help. I try my best, but I wish I could do more for them.
Oh, you're so beautiful. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me. Love chatting.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please hit the subscribe button and leave a 5-star review. For any products mentioned in today's show, please check the show notes below and hit the direct links. If you'd like to suggest a future guest, please follow @TheHealthyHustlers on Instagram and send through a direct message. Until next week, don't forget to invest in you.